Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Monsters this week. I'm Taylor Dahl. That's Dylan Ryan. And we were already here earlier in the week, but now we're back because
2 times of fun this week.
Yes. And it's draft season. There's plenty to talk about. Things are going to change daily. News is going to come out daily. But also, there's just so many draft people out there that I think the more opinions we get, the more knowledgeable we'll be on this, and the more it's exciting. It's an exciting time. We've mentioned it already that it's the biggest offseason the Chicago Bears have had in a really long time, if not ever.
I mean, at least in our lifetimes.
Yeah, because, I mean, we have never had a court. We've never had somebody who people truly thought was the franchise quarterback for a long time. This is the first time, especially, that we've experienced this. And as much as I love Jay Cutler, I knew that wasn't the answer for 10, 15 years. You know,
yeah.
Like, I knew Jay could make it happen for the time that he was there or make as much as he could happen. But there's a difference in when you have a young guy like Justin Fields who can do everything, and you have that right now. You have going into year three now, and you can literally make your team surrounded by what Justin Fields does.
And one other crazy thing is, like, there's a lot of people out there who still think we don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just so wild. And that's what we talked last episode, Dylan, about the, you know, trade Justin Fields for Bryce Young. And that's going to be a topic for a while, because the bottom line is there's two things. Number one, you can't say that Ryan Poles isn't thinking about it at all, because he does have to truly evaluate Justin Fields, and he's going to do that. And then he's going to have to see what Bryce Young and CJ Stroud have. Do I think that's going to push this aside? No, but it would be not smart of a GM to completely ignore that factor, just because he did not draft Justin either.
Yeah, and he's not his guy.
Yeah, and I think he's his guy in the aspect of, I truly believe he thinks that Justin Fields is it. But to not even slightly consider what other possibilities there are is not very smart. As a GM, you have to look at everything. So Ryan Poles will look at everything. I truly believe that. But I think at the end of the day, he's going to say, we have our quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be hearing the quarterback stuff until they trade the pick.
Yes.
Like, it's going to be someone wants to get a headline, someone wants to get a story. And, like, we were talking about it right before we started. Like, the new big headline is, like, Lamar Jackson, is he leaving Baltimore? Like, should the Bears trade Lamar?
Just trade Justin up
for Lamar and then pick someone with the first pick?
Yeah, like, stop. No, like, I hate that one, too.
It's so stupid because, like, I think Lamar Jackson is a more elusive runner than Justin Fields, and he might be a little bit faster. But I think that Justin is at a similar level to Lamar.
Yeah.
And I think his ceiling for being a passer is way higher than Lamar's. So, like, I just don't get that logic at all.
I agree. And I think we've seen a decent amount of Lamar. Lamar was out 2017, right? Or was he 2018?
Well, he was same year as Baker and all those guys.
Because he was after Mitch, the year after Mitch got drafted. So 2018, so 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. So we just had year five of Lamar Jackson, and that's why they're also talking about contracts. But it's like, in my head, the team he's on hasn't even fully committed to Lamar Jackson, and you're asking us to trade our young quarterback for somebody who their own team can't even decide on at this moment. And look, I think Lamar is really, he's fun. He's like, he's really fun to watch, and obviously he's good. And I could say great, but I also feel like there hasn't been much proven. I mean, there hasn't been like a huge playoff run with Lamar Jackson that I've seen. You know?
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, like, I very much agree with all that you're saying. And, like, I would say the one thing I will say for him is he's never really had a true number one receiver.
Yeah.
He's had Mark Andrews, and, like, it's a very good thing to have. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like, not having that athletic, dynamic guy out
there. Well, he had Hollywood.
But is Hollywood a number one?
I would say yeah.
No, he's not.
I think he is.
No.
Hollywood is.
I disagree. I mean, we can agree to disagree.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, Hollywood's, he's small and fast. Like, that's not, you know, like, at the end of the day.
But so is Tyreek.
Yeah, he's Tyreek Hill. Like, it's a difference. Like, he's Tyreek Hill. He's the guy. Yeah. But, like, most of the time in the NFL, if you're a number one receiver, you're 6 foot plus and like you can make big plays. Yeah. And like Hollywood Brown can make big plays, but like if you're under 5 feet or under 6 feet tall, you're probably not gonna be number one.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we've seen successful number ones under 6 foot. I think you want that. Like
ideally,
you want
yeah.
a 6'1", 6'2", plus wide receiver, obviously, because it helps when they're battling the corners. But I think Hollywood has the potential to be a number one. But anyways, so I just think that we're going to hear a lot of these different theories. We're going to hear the constant of, does Chicago Bears have their quarterback? And like you said, until they trade. So once that happens, that storyline's dead.
Yeah.
And then it's going to shift massively to, okay, now, because by that time, obviously, you'll know who also. If it's the Colts, it's going to be, all right, is it Will Anderson? Is it Jalen Carter? If it's a little deeper, then you're having a little bit different of conversations. So that's going to be the path of this
and
season.
I would say like the even crazier thing is like I think this is pretty unlikely, but like let's just say the Texans are like, you know what, like we want our guy no matter what, let's go up to one. Like we're still talking about trading down some more after that, I'd say. So
yeah.
Like it's very interesting to see where these things go,
and that is what will be really crazy if it ends up being the Texans, because then who are the Colts going to call us at that point to make sure that they have that next guy? Are the Panthers going to call? Are somebody like the Raiders going to call? So there's so many possibilities this offseason, but we are still going to have the is Justin Fields the guy topic until we know we're not the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
So anyways, we're going to continue draft talk. We talked to Joe Marina. He's the co-founder of the Draft Network. The Draft Network is great. I mean, when you log on to their page, the first thing you see is their kind of rankings, and obviously they kind of adjust like throughout the season, and then throughout the off season you'll see them kind of switch around. Right now they're top 10 prospects, and they do it obviously, I mean, just overall top 10
prospects.
Yeah, it's
more of a big board than it is like a mock draft.
Yes. So they have Will Anderson at 1, Jalen Carter at 2, Bijan Robinson, running back out of Texas, at 3, Miles Murphy, edge out of Clemson, at 4, Tyree Wilson, edge out of Texas Tech, at 5, Christian Gonzalez, cornerback of Oregon, who Joe is a fan of, and he says to expect this guy to start getting a lot more attention in this offseason, so that'll be fun to kind of keep an eye on. Corner is not a position I think we would draft in the
that's the
first
one
round.
That's the one thing
think.
On defense we don't need.
Yeah. Number 7, he has Bryce Young. Number 8, he has CJ Stroud. Number 9, he has Brian Breezy, is that how you say it?
Breezy, something like that, yeah.
An interior defensive lineman out of Clemson. And then Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame, they have as 10, which obviously we know that's another Notre Dame tight end because they just pump those guys out. But so if you go, it's great. They have podcasts, they have articles, they have all this stuff, anything you want to know about the draft. It's very up to date. And Joe's one of the co-founders of there. So obviously when I reached out, he was super excited to come talk about the first overall pick with the Bears. So we'll go ahead and get into that interview and then just recap it a little bit and talk about what he thinks. All right, now we are joined by Joe Marino. He's the co-founder of the Draft Network, and you can go to thedraftnetwork.com to read all of that good stuff. If you are in the draft season, some people are looking at playoffs also, like you, Joe. You are a Bills fan and cover the Bills also, so you are living in the draft world and in the playoff world, as are we, because we also work for the flagship of the Jaguars, which they're in the divisional round playoffs. So we have two very different mindsets right now, as do you.
Yes, it's the area that I always have one toe dipped in the draft water at all times, no matter what's going on, even if it's May or June. So we like talking draft anytime, and of course, you know, it's also fun to keep an eye on what's going on with the NFL playoffs.
Well, there you go. Joe, I think probably the biggest storyline right now, aside from Lovie Smith winning that football game for the Texans, or helping the Texans win that football game going for 2 and giving the Bears the number 1 overall pick, is probably all of the lovely recommendations that everyone has around the country of what the Bears could potentially do. The most recent one I saw is just a straight up trade for Lamar Jackson and send Justin Fields to the Ravens. So we're seeing a lot of interesting things, but obviously one of them has also been the trade Justin Fields and draft a quarterback. And what are your thoughts about that when you hear anybody say that they should trade Justin and try to get Bryce Young or CJ Stroud?
Yeah, if I were the Chicago Bears, I'd be very interested in keeping Justin Fields and building around him and using this opportunity to have the number one overall pick to really maximize my opportunity to potentially trade down, get a bunch of additional draft capital, We all know the Chicago Bears have, you know, the most cap space in the NFL entering this offseason, over $100 million. And so I would get really excited about having Justin Fields, having a significant influx of veteran talent that you should be able to acquire with that cap space, and then also complementing that with a ton of young players that you can get through this draft. The Bears already have a good amount of draft capital, but could be staring at even more with a move down the board. And I think there's going to be plenty of teams that are interested in moving up. And so if I'm Chicago, I'm building around Justin Fields. I think he gives you a really dynamic skill set. Obviously, the running ability stands out with how good of a season he had, obviously on a historic pace this year with that size. But also, you know, this guy can throw the football. Let's not lose sight of that. One of my favorite things about him at Ohio State was the accuracy to all levels of the field. And I think that as the offense stabilizes around him, as he's able to really dive into this Luke Getsy offensive system, I think you'll see that part of his game unlock. So if I'm Chicago, it's all about Justin Fields and building around him with these significant assets that you have at your disposal.
So obviously right now the talk of the town is, who are we trading the pick to? When are we trading the pick? You know, all these things. It seems it's almost like a given at this point. It's going to get traded. I'd hope it gets traded. That's kind of what my fingers are crossed at this point. Who do you think is the most likely candidate to trade up, and who is a team that you think probably isn't getting as much discussion right now, but probably could trade up at some point?
Well, I think the first question Chicago has to ask themselves when it comes to trading back is, how far are you willing to go? And that obviously opens up or closes a lot of possibilities, because maybe they want to move back, but not move so far back that they're out of the running for one of those blue-chip defensive linemen. So I think that's obviously the question the Bears will have to answer. But, you know, you look at Carolina, who's picking at number 9, who has really flubbed the quarterback position for a number of years now, have invested a lot to not have it right at this point. And then that also includes not participating in the NFL draft. Some of these quarterback classes in recent years that they chose to pick J.C. Horn and Derek Brown over. Now, those are good defensive players, but they're not quarterbacks. And so I think Carolina has a team that feels like they have to get it right at number 9. They look like a very obvious trade-up spot. And then you look at Indianapolis at number 4, another situation where they've went with some veterans in recent years, whether it was Phillip Rivers or Carson Wentz or Matt Ryan. You know, that's a team that has been very cautious on pulling the trigger on a quarterback. Feels like that needs to change because they keep getting it wrong. And so those two teams really stand out as the ideal places to move back to. I think a dark horse could be the Raiders. The Raiders obviously made it very clear they're moving on from Derek Carr. Well, what's your plan? And you know, I don't know if your plan could be Tom Brady, but you know, you think about this regime in Vegas, Ziegler and McDaniels. You know, those guys go back a long way. You know, kind of came up together, and you know, my understanding is I think they were friends dating back to like their younger years, and So I'm sure they want to build something sustainable. And that could come in the form of going and getting a quarterback. So I think there's options. That's a good news for Chicago. And I think it really comes back to how far they're willing to go down the board.
Yeah, I think something else that's really interesting for the Bears to look at is the fact that you have the Texans, who are at number 2, who need a quarterback, and they are the AFC South. And you also have the Colts at 4, who are in the AFC South and need a quarterback. Do you think you could see the Bears potentially trying to like pit those two division rivals against each other, get even more out of a potential package than they would have before?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, one thing to keep in mind through this entire conversation, as some of this conversation has shifted to, well, maybe the Bears should just sit there and draft Bryce Young or Will Levis or insert whatever quarterback. If I'm Chicago, of course I'm going to get that messaging out there. I don't want anybody to believe that I'm not interested in drafting that player, because if not, then Houston just sits there and gets their pick of the, you know, the pick of the litter if they can't get a trade. So, you know, I would be very mindful of the messaging that's being out there. It's out there for a reason. And so, of course, the Bears should be putting some mixed signals out there about, you know, their potential interest of picking a quarterback and staying there at number 1. That's all a leverage play. So let's also keep that in mind as we navigate through the next few months, which I'm sure in your world is going to be very, very crazy.
Yeah, it was funny in Ryan Poles' end-of-season press conference. They asked him about Justin Fields, and he's like, oh, yeah, like I love Justin. He's an awesome quarterback, but like he needs to get a little bit better at throwing the ball. So it's just like, I wonder why he mentioned that. You know,
yeah.
It's just like, you know.
Just get it in their heads a little bit. That's
maybe
what
he's going to trade Justin Fields. Maybe they're going to draft a quarterback. You know, you never know. So.
Well, Joe, obviously, I think the ideal scenario for most Bears fans at this moment is to trade with the Colts, because at that number 4, they believe they can still get Will Anderson Anderson or Jalen Carter. I noticed on the draftnetwork.com they have Will Anderson in the top 10 prospects, Will Anderson at one and Jalen at two. How far of a gap are those two players, or do you think they're pretty even?
I don't think there's that big of a gap, really. I think where you would maybe – obviously, they're people. They're human beings, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to want to get to know them and which one's the right fit, right? And maybe you're going to like the character makeup of them more or the other. I think what it really comes down to maybe the valuation of the interior player versus the edge player. And I've seen this different from team to team. There are some teams that don't believe in drafting interior defensive linemen in the first round, right? That's a thing. Mm-hmm. So if there's a positional value that, you know, Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus have on interior versus outside players, you know, that's obviously going to shape that decision very, very much. But I think in a vacuum, Jalen Carter as an interior defensive lineman, Will Anderson as an edge player, I'm sure there's a whole lot that separates them. I think you could talk yourself into either one, and then really that coming back to the people side of it, and then, of course, your where you put the premium on position value.
Yeah, and I think that I like both of them. I'm personally leaning a little towards Will, but that could be taken if at that four spot. So, but I'm not one of the people that would be tremendously upset if it's Jalen Carter, because I think he's an absolute stud of an athlete. But if the Bears end up, let's say it's one of those other landing spots that you mentioned with Carolina or the Raiders, which is at the 7 or 9 pick, where do you see the Bears going with that? I'm seeing the running back out of Texas now, Robinson. I'm seeing his name float around a lot as that potential, especially with questions with David Montgomery of what him probably going to be gone. Do you think that's a move, or should they go a different route?
Well, Bijan Robinson, I think if you throw positional value out of the equation, I don't think you could stack up players without Bijan Robinson being one of the best five. I mean, he's that good of a running back prospect, but he is a running back, and for a team like Chicago that it feels like you have a lot of needs, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to me to go in that direction, because I'd be looking for premium talent at premium positions, which I think they'll still be able to get, even if they do move back as far as 9 to where Carolina's at. I think if Chicago does move back to 9, I still think they're in really good shape when it comes to getting a blue-chip defensive lineman. I think there's going to be options, whether that's Miles Murphy from Clemson, Tyree Wilson out of Texas Tech. I think one of those players could still be around. But also that allows you to find some value on the offensive side of football, particularly at offensive line, where you could be in that running for Paris Johnson, the left tackle of Ohio State. And I know Braxton Jones had a really good season, but you know, you could certainly mix guys around and get your best five on the field. Mm-hmm. You also think about Peter Skoronski out of Northwestern, a local prospect that I know a lot of people are familiar with that could play inside or outside, and even Broderick Jones, Georgia. So I think moving back to 9, obviously you're not going to get Carter or Anderson, but you're still going to get a good player at a position of need, and then it's what you're also getting in addition to that with the capital that you're going to get from moving so far back down the board. I mean, you go back to 9 from 1, you're talking multiple first-round picks in the future years, day 2 picks, maybe meaningful talent. So you have to think about that in terms of, okay, do we want just Will Anderson or Jalen Carter, or do we like Paris Johnson plus a future first round, you know, all the other things that come with it. I think there's a lot to consider.
So we're now like right at the beginning of draft season. Obviously, it doesn't really get started fully until the playoffs end and the combine gets going. But every single year, without a doubt, once the football stopped being played, you see a certain player, whether it's through the combine, whether it's just through whatever it is, rises all the way up draft boards. It was really extreme last year with a guy like Trayvon Walker, who at the end of the college season last year was looked at as like a 20 mid-teens pick. Ends up going number 1. Is there anyone you could see having a really drastic rise through the draft process?
Well, we certainly identify Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback out of Oregon, as one of the top 10 players in this class, but I don't know if that's widely understood at this point. But I think as more people get familiar with his film, as he goes to the combine and absolutely blows it up, I could see a pretty meteoric rise here. You know, I think stature-wise, very similar to a Sauce Gardner, you know, who just went very top 5 to the Jets. And, you know, Gonzalez has that same stature, really quick feet, really loose hips. The ball skills really came along this year. He transferred from Colorado, and this is his one season at Oregon. And I think that's a player that as more people get familiar with him, you know, he'll rise up and really potentially have a case to be the first cornerback drafted.
Yeah, as someone who's been all over all the mock drafts for all of the reasons, I've seen Christian Gonzalez is rising up quite a bit, so I definitely have to agree with you on that one.
Yeah, Joe, so a couple more for you before we let you go. Obviously, the Bears have a ton of holes. A lot of those happen to be on both lines, offensive line, defensive line, and obviously that wide receiver position. What is there a specific position group in this draft that you think is a little deeper than maybe another one?
Yeah, I think very clearly the two deepest position groups in this class are cornerback and edge rusher. And I think, you know, if I look at our top 100 on over at thedraftnetwork.com right now, I think we have like 17 edge rushers and 14 cornerbacks ranked in the top 100. I mean, this is a loaded situation when it comes to both of those position groups. I mean, I'm not a math guy. What's that, 30? That's a third of the of the top 100 being those two positions. So I think if you're really looking to find the best mix of blue chip talent into really good, strong depth in the first three rounds, those are the two position groups that really pop for us.
Well, I was going to say, as a team that averaged 1.2 sacks a game last year, I think
the edge position definitely would
very
help.
Very important.
I don't see the Bears going too heavy on the secondary just because that's what they did last year, and I think they are pretty confident in Kyler and Jalen Johnson and Jaquan Brisker and Eddie Jackson, and even beyond that, Jalen Jones and stuff like that. So I don't see them going too heavy, but with a deep depth, that helps because you could get a later round guy that maybe can make a little bit of impact or help a little bit. Do you see anybody surprising taking a quarterback? There's a few situations to me that seem they're fascinating. Seattle to me. Does Seattle just ride with Geno?
Yeah, I like that you brought up Seattle there, Taylor, because I think they probably should bring back Geno, but I think maybe just on a franchise tag type situation. I think you're living dangerously, I think, if you commit to him kind of long-term and stay that course. Obviously, a great season, but I think there's a glass ceiling there. I don't know that you're going to go win Super Bowls with Geno Smith. Getting a young player would make a lot of sense for Seattle, who does need a long-term direction there. And I don't think that's Geno Smith personally. So I think Seattle is definitely in that conversation. I mean, I'm not ruling out Atlanta. I mean, does Desmond Ridder prevent you from participating in these quarterbacks class? If you like a C.J. Stroud or, you know, Anthony Richardson from Florida, I think they're absolutely in the conversation. And so when you look at this top 10, I mean, Houston, Indy, Seattle, why should we dismiss Detroit? I mean, I feel like Goff had a good year, but I'm not ruling it out if they love one of these guys. Vegas, Atlanta, Carolina, I mean, that's more than half the top 10 you feel like is needing a quarterback. Now, look, the veteran component, the trades, the free agents that will become available, that'll solidify a lot of that, right? We're having this conversation, you know, we're still in the playoffs. So that's going to sort itself out in a lot of ways. But as we look at this landscape right now, yeah, the destinations are abounding at this point.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Is there any way you could see a team like the Commanders trying to come up from 16? Obviously, I don't know if they get all the way up to one, but I feel like Sam Howell, he had a nice last game, but I feel like I wouldn't say he's the guy going forward for them.
Yeah, I think that's very similar to the conversation we just had about Atlanta, where Desmond Ridder had some late season flashes, but my goodness, is Desmond Ridder, who was a, you know, day two pick, or Sam Howell was a fifth round pick, those guys can't prevent you from picking and going after a quarterback that you believe in the first round, right? I mean, if you believe in a guy, that means a lot, right? And I think that's something we have to acknowledge, is just because there's, you know, these four different names, Will Levis from Kentucky, Bryce Young, Alabama, Anthony Richardson from Florida, and C.J. Stroud from Ohio State, that doesn't mean that every team likes those players, right? So, you know, who falls in love with who is really gonna play a big role in how this all shakes out. But, you know, if you do believe in one of those guys and you're lukewarm on your young mid-round draft pick, you got to go get your guy. And I think that's a proven strategy throughout the NFL that is working for teams. And so you got to go get your quarterback if you believe in one.
Yeah, I think a team that I think is going to be really interesting to see what they do this offseason is going to be the Bucs. And they're a team that I don't think Tom Brady is going to be back there next year. They just got rid of Byron Leftwich. The way he's been talking, it doesn't necessarily seem like things have been going super positive. And their offensive line just hasn't been what it needs to be for him to be able to support them. And they also have a lot of aging receivers that they probably don't want to keep if they don't have a quarterback going forward. Could you see that team like them trying to maybe move up?
You know, the Bucks are an interesting team in transition for sure. Not only is it Tom Brady, they have a lot of meaningful contracts that are coming off the books, and you kind of wonder, you know, this Todd Bowles, is he really the coach that's going to get the Bucks back to winning consistently? I know they won the division, but I mean, they're 8-9. They weren't competitive in the playoffs. We all know how that the reality of that situation. So I think Tampa's got some hard questions that they have to ask themselves about their direction. And to me, the one of the worst things you can do as a franchise is, you know, be mediocre and try to put Band-Aids on to stay mediocre, right? I think you either have to really go in, or you got to kind of tear it down so that you can build it back up. And I think Tampa needs to assess where they're at. And if I was a Bucks fan, I wouldn't be interested in a bunch of Band-Aids.
Yeah,
I would want them to really tear it down and build it back up.
So, yeah, as lifelong Bears fan, we're well aware of Band-Aids and trying to stay mediocre when you should be mediocre.
We had a Mike Glennon Band-Aid, a Nick Foles Band-Aid, and Andy Dalton. Yeah.
Well, I say Jay Cutler as well, but Taylor doesn't agree with me on
that.
No,
Jay was
the
man. Okay. Anyway, so Joe, I just wanted to say thanks for joining us. Obviously, this is probably the most important offseason the Bears have had in a really long time. So thanks for kicking it off with us. And I look forward to seeing more work. You guys can find Joe on Twitter at TheJoeMarino or on the Draft Network. And obviously, I did pick in my preseason on Helmets and Heels Bills over Eagles in the Super Bowl. So I'm still hanging on to that one.
Well, who did you have as the winner?
I had Bills.
Okay, well, from your lips to God's ears, all right?
So, but Joe, I got to wonder, though, if we get a Super Bowl win, are you jumping through a table?
You know, listen, I hate to be like the guy that tosses a wet blanket over that.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
I think I am just not a table jumping kind of guy. I think it's a really silly dynamic of Bills Mafia.
Oh, yeah, but it's great. We love to watch it, so.
Yeah, it keeps us entertained.
We do. It's just not going to be me jumping in through the table.
All right, well, thanks, Joe, so much. You have a good rest of your day.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. Thanks to Joe. I know he's a Bills fan because he also does a podcast called Locked On Bills. And which I'd said in the podcast, I had Bills Eagles in the preseason and the Super Bowl. But if the Jags beat Kansas City this week, I'm going to have to cheer for the Jags to beat them. So
hey, I mean, what happened the last time the Jaguars?
The Bills win too.
What happened last time the Jaguars and Bills went in the playoffs?
Yeah, well, it was the most boring game.
Game ever, but the Jaguars won. Yeah, they won. That's all that really matters.
That was terrible, but So thanks to Joe for joining us because I think he had a lot of good things out of this. Number one, the one thing that I've noticed so far, the consensus between talking to Derek, talking to Joe, seeing all of the draft guys on Twitter, what they think so far is Will Anderson and Jalen Carter are worth a number one overall pick. So worst case scenario, getting Will Anderson and Jalen Carter is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's a very good thing. Like you have a very, very good player and both Derek mentioned nobody, the comparison kind of being like nobody has worth this number one pick since Myles Garrett or this being a defensive guy being drafted this high since Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned compared to last year's draft, I think that both these guys, I think I mentioned last episode actually, both these guys would be a number one overall pick in last year's draft.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
Definitely. And so that's one thing that you have to calm yourself a little bit with then because I just saw earlier on Clay Harbor tweeted and he asked Bears fans, you know, if the Bears don't trade back and they stay at one and they take Will Anderson or Jalen Carter, are you guys mad? And there was a lot of Bears fans in the comments like, yeah, I'm mad. We could get a haul and we could do this. And I'm like, I get that because that was my initial reaction. Like my initial reaction was, no, like I don't want to do that when you have the potential of getting extra picks and like getting all of these things, possibly a player and all of this stuff. But in this scenario, we're looking at literally like, if somebody is not giving Ryan Poles what he thinks that number one pick is deserving of, then he's going to say no and be like, I can get Will Anderson.
Yeah, and I think really what it comes down to is like, is the draft pick worth more than the talent you'd get at number one?
Yeah.
You know? And like there is a real chance that like, hey, like we carry down to four and we still could get that same player.
Yeah.
But if the deal's not there, the deal's not there.
Yeah.
And I think really what it's gonna be is just like Will Anderson and Jalen Carter are very, very talented players, and like I'm never going to be mad if that they're on our team.
Yeah,
like it's just never going to happen.
Like, dang it,
you know, like if we pick him number one, like yeah, sure, I'll be a little bit disappointed we didn't end up getting to trade.
Yeah,
but the other thing I will say though is like that adds a lot of pressure that like one of those two guys, whoever it is, they better be a stud.
Yeah.
Like, they got to be the leader of this defense for a decade. Because, like, if you're picking a guy number one overall, that's what you need to get.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, it's a lot of evaluation that's going to come because you obviously, when you're taking a guy number one overall, which Joe talked about this, you want the best guy. But you also want somebody that's fitting, that's going to make the most impact on your roster. You also, and so that's why he was saying, like, Poles is going to do some deep comparisons of what is best for them, that interior player or that edge player. But Joe also said that edge is the deepest position, one of the deepest positions in this draft. So that's good to know, because now that's making me lean even more and more towards Jalen Carter, because having a guy like Jalen Carter in the middle, he's going to end up taking some double teams, but he did it constantly in college and still got pressure. So imagine a guy like that. Imagine what Akeem Hicks did, but probably even better, because no offense, we got Akeem Hicks kind of towards the end of things. I mean, yeah, like, he was injured. He was battling like a lot of things.
Or something when he got to Chicago.
And not saying that's like old, but he had battled through some tough things and tough injuries, and it kind of lingered and whatever. We're getting this guy fresh out of college who's going to be taking on double teams, still creating pressure, and the opportunities that opens for the edge players, for those defensive ends, is massive.
Yeah.
And we have some guys that we thought in the beginning of the season were about to be that. The problem is the entire interior was terrible, so everything was on them, and they weren't ready for that. They weren't ready for all of that after losing Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, and Akeem Hicks within 6 months or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think I very much agree with that. Like, when you have that big of a presence in the middle of the offensive line, you gotta push in the middle. Yeah. There's really not much you can really do about it. And I actually saw a mock draft. I think it was got released yesterday or 2 days ago. It was Dane Brugler on The Athletic. He had us trading down with the Colts and then getting another pick at the top of the second and getting a guy like Azeez Ojulari.
Yeah.
Who's someone I've seen being like a first round pick in some mocks.
Yeah.
So, like, if we can end up trading down and get a guy like Jalen Carter.
Ideal.
And then get a guy like Azeez Ojulari, like, that's awesome. And, like, it's so funny when it comes to this Jalen Carter and Will Anderson thing, because, like, for me, like, who I want to draft is whoever's highlight tape I watch last. Because, like, I watch them playing.
I know.
Like, oh my God.
I keep
God.
Switching,
like,
every time.
It's so hard to pick. And, like, and the thing is, like, I do think I've gotten so excited and almost expected we're going to have one of these guys. But, like, there is a chance where, like, maybe we don't get him. And, like, I'll be disappointed, but, like, we better get a haul if we don't.
Well, yeah. And because, so if we move to 5, I have a feeling that the Cardinals or whoever is at 4 is going.
Cardinals are 3. We're
If we trade to 4, whoever, the Cardinals, if they don't trade down, are I'm guessing we'll take one of them.
Yeah.
And if they're not, somebody is. So that unless some miracle Will Levis just like skyrockets up.
I could see it happening. I'm really like, we were talking about
it
yesterday.
Do
with Derek.
It. Like, I would love it, because if we ended up having CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, and Will Levis, and they're all just like, okay, any of these guys can kind of go 1 through 3, and we have that Colts pick, and it's QB, 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 and we can then take who we want like the most at that 4. Okay.
I would be like, that's the most ideal scenario.
I'm rooting for Will Levis.
Like, I think I've seen a lot of Bears fans post a scenario where it's just like, we trade down from 1 to 2, 2 to 4, and then the Cardinals trade down from 3 to like 9 or something, and then we have like all these picks. We get it's like the best case scenario, essentially. And like, it's not incredibly likely, but like, I really wouldn't be shocked if like the Cardinals ended up doing something like that, because they just got a brand new GM.
Yeah.
And as Derek mentioned yesterday, like, they got a lot of really good pieces, but outside of that, there's not a ton, and like, the GM's going to want a lot of picks to fill out the roster he wants to make it. So like, it really wouldn't shock me that, let's say, like, the Panthers or the Raiders are like, hey, like, we got to get up there and get our guy. Will Levis is our guy.
Need somebody.
It wouldn't. It really wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I know. And so that's the thing about draft day and draft season. There's just a million possibilities. And honestly, every year something crazy happens. At least one crazy thing happens during the draft where everyone's like, whoa. Some years crazier. There's some years where everyone's like, what the heck? How did that even happen? But that's what keeps us entertained for during this whole offseason. But another thing that really stuck out, obviously, was this is something we've been talking about all season. And his words exactly was, this guy can throw the football. And I'm like, yes, this guy can throw the football. Like, Justin Fields can pass the football. If you've watched him in Ohio State ever at all, you know he can pass the football. So I'm tired of the narrative that he can't. And both him and Derek were very specific on it hurt him because of his surroundings. So go build around Justin Fields. That is what this offseason is about. Take your guy. You have your quarterback. Now go get all of the pieces that help him get better.
Yeah, I mean, I look at what's happening with San Francisco right now. They have the last pick in the draft leading them through the playoffs, and people right now, I think Vegas, let's check, has them as Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah.
And Brock Purdy is succeeding because of his his cast. Justin Fields is succeeding despite his cast.
Yes.
And like, imagine if you were to stable flip those scenarios. Like,
oh my
it would
gosh.
Blow
Give
my
me
mind
Debo,
about how much more successful.
Ayuk, Kittle. Ugh.
Like, in that offensive line, too. Like,
Give
it would.
Me that.
And like, it's almost like they had the chance to like make that happen or something. And they chose, like, I don't know, like Trey Lance. But who would do that? You know, like a crazy person. But
yeah. But I mean, at this point, they're laughing at everybody else because they're like, whatever. We've been able to figure out the quarterback situation no matter what.
Well, just quick question. What do you think about this all this Brock Purdy stuff? I know it's a little off topic.
I mean,
for
he
us.
Looks great. Is
so?
That going to die?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's denying that he's looked great, but I think everything around him definitely helped.
Do you
for
think
sure.
that he's going to be the guy next year?
I don't know. I'm interested with San Fran, but I think he's a part of it. I think in the preseason, he is battling for that starting position.
Yeah, because so Brock Purdy went to Iowa State, so I definitely have a lot more familiarity with him than most people. And like, he had like a really...
I mean, at this point, I'm more impressed by him than I ever was Trey Lance.
Yeah, so like his first
Here
year...
in NFL.
Yeah, his first year at Iowa State, like he had like kind of a breakout season, like came on the scene, like everyone's like, watch out. Like there were mock drafts before the season started, like the way too early ones that were saying like, Brock Purdy, number one pick in 2 years, watch out. Like, and obviously things didn't go his way and he ended up falling down like way lower than I thought he'd ever get picked, but... He never really blew me away in college. He was like one of those guys that kind of like got the job done, but like was never really the reason we won. But he's doing everything Kyle Shanahan's asking. And
I mean,
like
honestly.
Really at the end of the day, like with his system, it just seems like you need someone that can not turn the ball over at cornerback. And he does that. So
yeah, you need that like game manager in San Fran right now because they have everything else. Like they have a top defense. They have a great offensive line. You have every weapon you could ask for. They have a run game. Like anything you could ask for in San Fran, they have. So like you pluck a guy in there that can just avoid turning the ball over and manage the game a bit and you're good.
And supposedly Kyle Shanahan wanted Mac Jones over Trey Lance and he was overruled by John Lynch, who was more of a Trey Lance guy. But Mac Jones is very much more of the game manager type, much more similar to Brock Purdy than Mac Jones, or rather Trey Lance.
Yeah, that would have been an interesting one, honestly. But yeah, so I mean, I think that it's weird looking at the playoffs this year because the AFC is just like all of the young studs. Like Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, upcoming, probably the next one, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. And then on the other side, we have Dak, who is the most like back and forth. You never know really what to expect from Dak. He'll have like an absolutely incredible game last week. And then the week before, he looked like he shouldn't be a starting quarterback. And then you have Brock Purdy. And then you have who else even in there right now? Who else is in?
Oh, for the playoffs? Oh, I'm totally blanking
the
right
NFC
now.
Trevor, side.
Did we say the NFC?
Well, the
side?
NFC.
Oh, NFC
so,
side. Well, Geno's gone. Dak, Jalen Hurts. Did we say Jalen Hurts already?
No. So Jalen Hurts. Yeah. So I think Jalen Hurts and Dak, I guess you would say, are like guys of the NFC, you know?
Yeah.
But then it's Brock and why can I not think of the other playoff team?
It's the Niners are playing the... It's the Eagles and Cowboys. And who are the Niners playing? We're totally playing.
Giants. So Daniel Jones.
Oh, Daniel Jones.
Which
he's going to stick around next year.
Yeah.
He's been solid.
Daniel Jones is another one who, after last year, people were kind of like, it's time to find a new quarterback.
I was one of those people.
Me too.
Yeah.
And then even in the beginning of this season, I was like, like when the Bears played them, it wasn't Daniel Jones that beat the Bears. It was just, I was like, I think he had 80 yards. Yards passing that season. I mean, that game. And they beat us. And I was like, what the hell? But so he's definitely just been able, and he's been able to progress through the season and get better, and that's without guys. Like, that's what's crazy, too, is, like, the Giants don't have some crazy good receiving core, and he's still being able to do it. So that's one of the outliers of...
I will say something from this playoffs is, like, you talk about, like, the AFC, and you look at all the young quarterbacks, and, like, I feel like for the last, like, 4 or 5 years, you had, like, the guys like Joe Burrow, Josh Allen.
Soon.
That's what I'm about to say. Is like you had all those group of quarterbacks, like the Patrick Mahomes, all these young studs. You're like, these guys are the future of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I would get so jealous being how exciting must that feel? And like, now we actually have a guy who like, maybe he's not at that level yet, but like he very much looks like he's on the way.
Yeah.
And it's just such an exciting feeling to have. And it's so new and weird. And I don't know what to do. It's exciting.
We don't know how to handle that. The quarterback being your best player type of thing. One thing that's interesting also is Luke Getsy is a coach for the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Like it, love it, because he's going to have like hands-on experience and evaluations of some of these guys in the Senior Bowl. Also, can make some connections with these guys and like get a little insight. So I like that a lot. It also gets it gets him recognition too. Like people, depending, hopefully it goes well. Because if it goes well, then people are like, man, like Chicago's offense could be really fun. I like Luke Getsy. I like his mindset.
Well, hopefully he doesn't get too much attention because, you know, maybe we don't want him to look too good and end up leaving. But that's
that's true.
That's the problem with the whole defensive coach thing.
Yeah. That is offensive coach.
Or I'm saying that you have a hiring a defensive coach head coach because the offensive coordinator gets picked off.
Which I would assume that in the next 2-3 years, Luke Getsy's somewhere.
If things are going well, Luke Getsy's probably not here anymore.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the way it goes.
We'll be losing him. We'll be losing Ian Cunningham probably next year.
Yeah, which is... he turned down the Cardinals job, which is a little bit surprising to see because I feel like you don't... I never really got the idea of interviewing for a job you don't want. Mm-hmm. But I guess you were saying earlier, like, you know, there's practice. But he was interviewing for a team, like, every single GM opening. So
I think for stuff like that, it's one of the situations where I think, number one, he definitely wants that. Like, he definitely wants to go to that next level. So in his head, he's like, okay, well, they have to say the right words, though. There's a lot. And who knows also what the Bears organization is telling him and what is going on between the two. Obviously, he's happy enough in Chicago to come back and be like, hey, I want to spend another year.
Why don't you stay
there?
Here so we can get those two comp picks when you leave? So that's what I think they're saying. Because, like, hey, Ryan, or, you know, like, Ryan's like, hey, like, come on back, Ian. Like, you know, like, I'd like to get those third round picks.
Yeah.
So
but I think for him, he's probably just, it's definitely great experience. He has a ton of interviews. And then next year, when he goes and interviews for whatever job he's going to potentially take, he'll know exactly what to say, what not to say, what to expect, salary-wise, contract-wise, how to negotiate all of those things. And then also, hopefully, he's coming off a good season. So he can be like, well, I just did this. I took a team from the first overall pick. Not me alone, but
my team
took a team from the first overall pick to playoffs and like, or whatever it is.
It's like, as dumb as this sounds, like, yeah, you never think it's a good thing to lose a guy, but like, let's say like he does end up being a GM. Like, that's someone who our GM has a very close relationship with and like can get deals done with and like knows how to like work with. So like that's an important thing to have.
Yeah. He's like, hey, Ian, remember back in
remember back when we were together? Like, you don't want to toss me like an extra pick or two than I would have gotten from anyone else. But
anyway, so we kind of got off on a tangent there, but the draft talk is here. It's full on. It's full force. We're going to keep knowing.
We'll have plenty
we're
of time to talk draft
it.
Over the next few weeks.
Oh, yes. And we're working on a few episodes coming up, an episode on Will Anderson and an episode on Jalen Carter for all the people out there who are panicking that if we end up with one of these guys with the first overall, why you shouldn't. Also, which one maybe is best for the Bears this season? Not that we are officially deciding that anyways, but...
Actually, no, we are deciding that. What we say is final, and they have to pick who we pick, so... You hear that, Ryan?
Yes, Ryan. Listen to us.
Well, he listens every week, so, you know.
Yeah, we're his favorite podcast, I've heard. I wonder if he listens to things like this ever. If he's just like,
why would you ever do that?
Not saying like us, but no, like not even draft
saying,
stuff.
I'm saying like any in like general. Any. Why would you? I wouldn't listen to anyone because anything they're gonna say is bad. Like, especially after the season they just had, like terrible.
Oh, like as in the people criticizing.
Yeah,
them.
I mean, like,
he would love our podcast then.
Well,
because
we're not gonna criticize him.
We hype up Ryan Poles and we hype
up
Justin.
I am not one.
He'd
of
be like, this podcast is on point.
Yeah, I'm not one of those Bears fans though who is like, you know, an apologist and will say whatever they want to do and is right. So like, if Ryan Poles makes a bad move, I'll say it. Like Chase Claypool, I've talked about that a little bit. But
yeah,
I think he's done a pretty good job so far. So I'll stay positive for now.
And I had my moment in summer where I was like, do we become a little worried because of certain situations? This was when the Tevin stuff was happening, and I didn't like that. And Byron Pringle had, we had like 5 players arrested in the offseason, and then Tevin wasn't getting along. Roquan was sitting out, and I remember being like, ugh.
Oh, there was also something else. I don't remember how to pronounce the guy's last name. The guy, the defensive tackle we signed. Over the offseason.
Didn't pass his physical.
Yeah, it's like it was kind of crazy to say last name.
Yeah.
But he ended up signing a 1-year deal with the Steelers for like nothing. He had a great year.
Did he?
Yeah.
Dang it.
Which is
but
a
he
little...
didn't pass a physical, so that's not our fault.
Yeah, I know it's not our fault, but also
how did
just
he
like,
pass the Pittsburgh physical?
I don't know. I guess what it was just like there was something that they'd noticed that the Bears, like maybe it was guarantees they wanted it differently or whatever it was. But it was something where the Pittsburgh was like, we'll give you a cheap contract to come play for us. But like Ryan
but it
Poles
was
identi-
it was a situation. It wasn't like a contract. It was that he physically he failed the physical.
I think the idea is like, look what's happening with like this is cross sports. We're gonna get real fancy here, but like with what's happening in Carlos Correa with baseball, where it's like, oh, there's a chance that this could lead to a worse injury.
Okay.
So we want to lower your guarantees, and like that might have been the situation with the Bears, or I don't know exactly. I'm just speculating, but like I think he had like 7 or 8 sacks this year. But like obviously, like, Ryan Poles can identify talent.
Yeah.
So, like, that was supposed to be our one big signing, and he would have been good if he stayed.
That would have been nice.
Obviously, you would have liked that, but, you know, it's I'm not super.
But
not,
only a one-year deal. Now he could go get him.
He's a free agent again. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, that is Making Monsters. We will be back next week. Not sure the route we're going yet with this next one. Maybe it'll be a Will Anderson, Jalen episode. Maybe it'll be another generic podcast one. I mean, a generic draft one. But either way, we have plenty of draft talk for you guys. So we will catch you next week. This is Making Monsters. I'm Taylor Dahl. That's Dylan Ryan.